الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. صدق الله العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Honorable ulama, respected elders, brothers, friends, and dear listeners, our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates an incident. جَاءَ رَجُلٌ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ A person came in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Kathir rahimahullahu ta'ala, in his tafsir, he suggests that this was a person from amongst the Ansar. However, Allama ibn Asakir rahimahullahu ta'ala, he is of the opinion that this was a sahabi by the name of Thawban radiallahu ta'ala an. Nevertheless, a person came in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, faqala ya Rasulullah, innaka la ahabba ilayya min nafsi wa ahli wa mali wa waladi. He says, ya Rasulullah, the fact of the matter is, you are very, very dear to me. In fact, I love you more than I love myself. I love you more than I love my wife, my children, and my wealth. And then he says, but what happens is that when I'm alone, I sense that there is this peace and tranquility that is missing from my life and from my heart. And then I have the opportunity of coming and sitting in your company, and I regain that peace and that tranquility that I was missing at home when I was alone. وَإِذَا ذَكَرْتُ مَوْتِي وَمَوْتَكَ And then I remember that one day I will depart from this world, and you, ya Rasulullah, you will also make parda from this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a very, very high and lofty stage and status in Jannah. And even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants me entry into Jannah, how will I then put this impatient heart to rest? خَشِيْتُ أَنْ لَا أَرَاكَ I fear that I will never be able to see you in Jannah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is listening to the cry and the plea of Thawban radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Just then, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam descends from the heavens with the verse of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verse number 69 of chapter 4 of the 5th juz of the Quran. وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا Respected elders and friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah of the Qur'an, Allah outlines two conditions and two prerequisites in order for us to enjoy the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah. Number one, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number two, obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Someone said to Qa'qa' Awsi rahimahullahu ta'ala, قُلْ لَنَا شَيْئًا يُشَوِّقُنَا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ Say to us something, give us some advice and nasiha that will kindle within us the desire to strive and earn Jannah. So he says, let me give it to you in a nutshell. In summary, fee sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Jannah is Sayyidul Mursaleen, Rahmatul Lil Alameen, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is enough for you to strive to earn Jannah. That is enough for you to strive to earn Jannah. Who is this Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? whom we have been instructed to love more than our parents, our businesses, our homes, our relatives, our friends. In Sahih Muslim, Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the narrator. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ati bab al jannati yawm al qiyamati fa astaftihu." On the day of Qiyamah, I will come to the doors of Jannah and I will seek permission to enter. فَيَقُولُ الْخَازِنُ, the doorkeeper will say, مَنْ أَنْتَ, who are you? فَأَقُولُ أَنَا مُحَمَّدٌ, I will say that I am Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The doorkeeper will then say, بِكَ أُمِرْتُ لَا أَفْتَحُ لِأَحَدٍ قَبْلَكَ, you are the person that I have been commanded about. I have never opened these doors for anyone before you. For anyone before you. This is our Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. In another verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul wa ulil amri minkum. O those who have brought iman, obey Allah and obey the Messenger of Allah and obey those who have been placed in authority from among you over you. So number one, we mentioned obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can one bring about the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The primary way in order for us to bring about the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to act upon the injunctions of Allah in the Quran. To make the Quran our life manual. Every single aspect of our life should be in accordance with the Quran. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum was such, our pious was such, that every single aspect of their life was in accordance to the Quran. Whatever the Quran has deemed as halal, whatever it has deemed as haram, we deem as haram. It is mentioned regarding Ali ibn Hussein. We're speaking about making amal in acting upon the instructions of Allah in the Quran. So it is mentioned regarding Ali ibn Hussein, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that he was once making wudu. And his servant was pouring water over him. And by accident, this vessel or this jug fell down. And it shattered. And the pieces injured Ali ibn Hussein such that he started bleeding. So immediately he looked at his servant. And his servant saw that Ali ibn Hussein is upset. He seems upset. He seems agitated. So immediately she recited the verse of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about those that will earn Jannah in context of those who strive towards Jannah and will earn Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ, they are the ones who suppress their anger. So he looks at her and he says, I have suppressed my anger. She doesn't stop, she continues the verse. She says, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, and they pardon people. So he looks at her and he says, I have pardoned you. She doesn't stop. She continues the verse of the Quran. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, and Allah loves those who do good. So then he looks at her and he says to her that not only have I forgiven you, not only have I suppressed my anger, but I have freed you as well. You can go. You are free. وَكَانَ وَقَّافًا عِنْدَ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum was such, as we just mentioned, their lives and their matters were regulated by the Qur'an Kareem. When this verse of the Qur'an was revealed, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا, who is there to give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a beautiful loan? So a sahabi by the name of Abu Dahdah radiallahu ta'ala an, and this is mentioned in the tafsir of Imam Al-Qurtubi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he's confused. Ya Rasulullah, inna Allah yastaqriduna wa huwa ghaniyun anil qardi, is Allah asking us for a loan whilst he is independent from any need, any want? He doesn't need our wealth. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, yuridu an yudkhilakumul jannata bihi. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give you an opportunity to earn Jannah. So he says, Ya Rasulullah, in that case, I want Jannah for myself. I want Jannah for my wife. I want Jannah for my children. And then he says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ لِي حَدِيقَتَان. I have two gardens. It is mentioned that one of his gardens had 600 date palms. 600 date palms. He says, Ya Rasulullah, this is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the loan that I want to give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Acting upon, we're speaking about acting upon the Quran, regulating our lives, our matters with the Quran and the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, Ya Rasulullah, these are two gardens for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, take it easy, Abu Dahda. You keep one and you give one for the sake of Allah. One was at the upper part of Medina Munawwara, one was at the lower part of Medina Munawwara. So Abu Dahda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, in that case, I will give the better one for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one with 600 date palms. And then he rushes to the garden. He stands at the entrance. Who's inside the garden? His wife, enjoying the garden, enjoying the shade of the trees of that garden. His children are there playing, eating dates. And then he makes an announcement. Oh my wife, ukhruji, come out of this garden. This is now in the ownership of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he sings beautiful words of poetry. There's no time for us to go into those, the explanation of that poetry. His wife, she's so happy, she's so elated, she stands up. And then she makes an announcement and she screams at him and she says, Rabih al-Bay', what a beautiful deal you have struck with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh my beloved husband. What a beautiful deal you have struck with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, it's very difficult for a mother to take food away from their child. When a child is eating, a mother finds it very difficult to take food away from their child. Here, Abu Dahdah's children, around the wife of Abu Dahdah, they had dates tucked in their sleeves. They had dates in their pockets. Immediately she went to all her children and she took all those dates out. And she said to her children that this is now in the ownership of Allah. We have given this as a loan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they exit the garden. And Abu Dahdah, his entire family, they then go to the other orchard, to the other garden. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is witnessing this entire scene before his eyes. And then he says, Kam min izqin radahin wadarin fayahin li abid dahdah. How many a heavy date palms, how many a palatial homes has Abu Dahdah secured for himself in Jannah? On what account? Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by acting upon the instructions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. So to enjoy the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, number one, obedience to Allah. Number two, obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Following his sunnah, following his lifestyle, discarding every other lifestyle that is marketed out there. Why? Because the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the perfect lifestyle for every single individual, for humanity. It is aqrab, the most beloved to Allah, akmal, the most complete, ahsan, the most beautiful life that one can adopt and emulate. It is unlike other lifestyles. It is beautiful, complete, and not exclusive to the elite or to the wealthy or to the privileged. Every single person can emulate the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not like other lifestyles that are exclusive. And it's constant, it doesn't change. What has been transmitted to us 1446 years ago is as meticulously recorded for us. As it was then, it is now. Other lifestyles, what was out 30 years ago is in today. What is in today is out again tomorrow. There's no perfection to that type of lifestyle. But the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is perfect. In every single angle that a person analyzes the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is perfect. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة. Allah says, certainly for you is a beautiful example and a role model in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What's the benefit of adopting the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قل إن كنتم تحبون الله. If you claim to love Allah, then Ya Rasulullah, tell them that they must follow you. They must make ittiba of you. in your acts of worship, in your mundane, ordinary activities, they should follow you. What will then happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love us. Not only will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love us, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also forgive us. So Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum was such that they mirrored the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They followed it meticulously, like how a shadow follows its owner, like how one eye follows the other eye. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it is mentioned regarding him that when he would travel from Madinah Munawwara to Makkah Mukarramah, he would take rest under a particular tree. And then he used to say to his colleagues and to his associates that this was the tree under which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would take rest, therefore I am taking rest. If that is the case of the son, then what of the father, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he addressed the black stone and the Hajr Aswad, and he said, I know that you don't have the ability to benefit me in any way or to harm me in any way. لَوْلَا رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَبَّلْتُكْ مَا قَبَّلْتُكْ. Had I not seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placing his blessed lips on you, then I would have never kissed you. Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, he says, on one occasion we were invited for meals with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the food was served before us. He says, prior to this, I did not have a particular liking for a type of vegetable known as dubba. And dubba was served for that meal. I did not have a particular liking for it. Dubba is a vegetable from the pumpkin family. So he says, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very eagerly searching for the dubba in that pot of gravy. He says, from that day onwards, dubba became my favorite meal. It became my favorite meal thereafter. So how do we obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. Whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has instructed you to do, then do it, carry it out. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever he has instructed you to abstain from, then abstain from it. It is mentioned regarding Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, on one occasion he was coming to the masjid. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was addressing an audience in the masjid. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ijlisu, which means sit down. So Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who is outside the masjid, unaware of what context Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying ijlisu, he sat down. فَجَلَسَ فِي مَكَانِهِ خَارِجَ الْمَسْجِدِ. There and there he sat down. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found out about this. He said to Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala an, زَادَكَ اللَّهُ حِرْصًا عَلَى طَوَاعِيَةِ اللَّهِ وَطَوَاعِيَةِ رَسُولِ. May Allah increase you in your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah increase you in your zeal and your desire and your enthusiasm to obey Allah and to obey the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So respected elders and friends, the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most perfect. And it is our duty, our responsibility to bring about and to emulate every aspect of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, they say, Al-insanu abdul ihsan. Insan is a slave to favors. If somebody did you a favor, your entire life you'll try to repay that person. Or at the very least, you will make dua for that person. Our seniors, our elders, they always tell us, our parents will tell us, that you know what, bhai, when you were young, and we had no transport to take you to school, this family, our neighbor, they would take you in their car and they would take you to school. For an entire year, they took you to school. When your sister got married, when your they helped serve the food, they helped clear out the dishes. When your mother was sick in COVID, they sent food for 2-3 weeks. So remember, when this family experiences any happy occasion, or in their sadness also, be with them. Be a part of their life. Be at their beck and call. When they need anything, be there. Why? Because they did us a favor. So if that is the case of our friends, our relatives, then what of the multiple, numerous favors of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We cannot even count them. Multiple favors. And we cannot adequately repay. We are forever in debt to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how much more should we be doing in terms of repaying that favor by acting upon his sunnah and mubarak lifestyle sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'll end off on this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us that every Nabi was given a dua which he made and it was readily accepted. He said that I have reserved my dua for the day of Qiyamah. اِخْتَبَأْتُ دَعْوَتِي شَفَاعَةً لِأُمَّتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ I have reserved my dua for my ummah to intercede on their behalf on the day of Qiyamah. That same Nabi who made so much dua for us, he made dua for our dunya, he made dua for our akhirah. He did not see us, we did not see him, yet he referred to us as brothers. So how much more should we be doing in terms of cooling his eyes by emulating the lifestyle, his lifestyle and his blessed sunnah, outwardly and inwardly. Inwardly, on one occasion he addressed Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu and he said, Ya Bunay, O my beloved son, in qadarta, if you are able to, an tusbiha wa tumsiya, وَلَيْسَ فِي قَلْبِكَ غِشٌّ لِأَحَدٍ فَفْعَلٍ If you are able to wake up every morning, if you are able to go to sleep at night, and you don't have any malice, any jealousy, any hatred for anyone, then do so. وَذَلِكَ مِنْ سُنَّتِي This is my way of life. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ سُنَّتِي فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي That person who loves my sunnah, then he truly loves me. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي And that person who loves me, كَانَ مَعِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ He'll enjoy my company in Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq, the desire, the enthusiasm to act upon the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to emulate it in whatever way possible. In whatever way possible, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah, nikah will be taking place. The nikah parties are kindly requested to come forward, inshallah.